Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Jaya Kishor Kishori, Jaya Kishor Kishori, Kishor Kishori, Jaya Kishor Kishori. Jaya Jagannath Jaya Jagannath Jaya Balladeva Jaya Subhadra. Jaya Gauranitai Gauranitai Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Nithai Gaura Hari Bol. Dai Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivrajaka Charya Ashtotara Shatashi Srimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivrajaka Charya Ashtotara Shatashi Srimad His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki. Prince Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivash Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki. Shishi Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinat Shamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki. The most beautiful Lordship Shishi Kishor Kishori Ki. Paramakaruna the most merciful Lordship Shishi Gaura Nitai Ki. The most merciful Lordship Sri Jagannath Sri Baladev Srimati Subhadra Maharani Ki. Garantara Shimam Bhagavatam Ki. Nitai Gaura Premanandi. Oh, glories to the assembled devotees. Oh, glories to the assembled devotees. Oh, glories to the assembled devotees. Oh, glories to Sri Shiguru and Sri Gauranga.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Kunjabi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Kunjabi Gopi Jana Balabha Giri Vrdhari Gopi Jana Balabha Giri Vrdhari Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tiravana Chari Jamuna Tiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Balabha Giri Vrdhari Gopi Jana Balabha Giri Vrdhari Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamana Tiravana Chari Jamana Tiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari His Divine Grace is the Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Keej. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Keej. Bor Pimanandi. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading this morning, text 68, Canto 7, Chapter 15. Instructions for civilized human beings and We're almost finished with the chapter. Yatahi yam nripadeva dushtya jad aparaganad utaratatmanak prabho yatpada panke ruha sevaya bhavan aharashin nirjita digaja kratun Tahi yam nripadeva dushtya jad apad ganad utaratatmanak prabho yatpada panke ruha sevaya bhavan aharashin nirjata digaja kratun
As he indeed yoyam all of you Pandavas Nripadeva O Lord of the kings human beings and demigods Dushjajat insurmountable apat dangerous conditions Ganat, from all. Uttarata, escaped. Atmanaha, own. Prabhoho, of the Lord. Yat pada pankeruha, whose lotus feet. Sevaya, by serving. Bhavan, yourself. Aharashit, performed. Nirjita, defeating. Dikgaja, the most powerful enemies, who were like elephants. Kratun, ritualistic ceremonies. Translation. O King Yudhisthira, because of your service to the Supreme Lord, all of you, Pandavas, defeated the greatest dangers posed by numerous kings and demigods. By serving the lotus feet of Krishna, you conquered great enemies who were like elephants, and thus you collected ingredients for sacrifice. By his grace, may you be delivered from material involvement. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Placing himself as an ordinary householder, Maharaj Yudhisthira inquired from Narada Muni how a griha mudhadi, pretty strong, a person who is entangled in household life and who thus continues to remain a fool, can be delivered. Narada Muni encouraged Maharaj Yudhisthira by saying, you are already on the safe side because you, along with your entire family, have become a pure devotee of Krishna. By Krishna's grace, the Pandavas conquered in the battle of Kurukshetra and were saved from many dangers posed not only by kings but sometimes even by the demigods. Thus, they are a practical example of how to live in security and safety by the grace of Krishna. Everyone should follow the example of the Pandavas who showed how to be saved by the grace of Krishna. Our Krishna consciousness movement is intended to teach how everyone can live peacefully in this material world and at the end of life return home back to Godhead. In the material world, there are always dangers at every step. Padam, padam, yadvi padam, nate sham. Nonetheless, if one takes shelter of Krishna without hesitation and keeps under the shelter of Krishna, he can easily cross the ocean of nescience. Samashrita ye padapallavam plavam mahatpadam punyanyasho marare. To the devotee, this great ocean of nescience becomes like a puddle of water in the hoofprint of a cow. A pure devotee, without embarrassing himself by trying for elevation in so many ways, stays in the safest position as the servant of Krishna, and thus his life is eternally safe, without a doubt. Well, that's really nice. To be safe in a place that's filled with dangers. Few things, think of. This is a discussing-oriented group, so I'll speak little and invite discussion. I'll try. The conclusion of yesterday's verse was that householders, or even householders, or it doesn't matter what your position is, householder or sannyasi or any other thing, one can achieve perfection by following the principles given in scripture and pursuing them for the purpose of pleasing Krishna. Varnashram Charavata, we heard about that verse. The other scriptural references that were mentioned within the Bhagavatam. about following Varna and Ashram duties, and the perfection of that, that which is perfection is fully absorbed in Krishna. Do those things for the purpose of satisfaction of Krishna. And then including the negative, that's the positive. The negative is no material desire. Small thing, no material desire. So that no material desire means desiring only Krishna, even while within the material world. So that answered, along with all the other messages, it's kind of like a summary, as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said, that verse concludes that whole section, little summary of you can achieve perfection as a household, because the question, Griha Mudha Di, Maharaj Yudhisthira likening himself to a fool, Mudha, who Griha Di, Di indicates intelligence or where your attention goes. Attention goes to attachment to home. So he's likening himself to one who has such attachment and is stuck. Remains a fool in that position because the material energy has this potency of bewildering the living entity. Bewildering in a number of ways. Accepting who I am as who I'm not. Accepting who I am not as who I am. That's where it begins, this ignorance. And then accepting a purpose of life, something that's unwholesome. It's in the opposite of my self-interest instead of what's my self-interest. And living a life of pursuing happiness through the temporary, asat, Trishna. And on and on and on. Remaining a fool is the purport is saying. Remaining a fool, and not just in this lifetime, but lifetime after lifetime. Yaya samohito jiva. Atmanam trigunatmakam paropi. Although the living entity is paro api, thinking otherwise. And then therefore, yaya, sammohita, same message as this core verse of Vyasadeva's realization. Maybe some of you recall, we discussed those verses in the evening seminar, because they're the foundation of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. It's what Vyasa realized, and here Narada is saying, what Vyas realized. You know, guess where he got it from? From Vyasadeva, or excuse me, Vyasadeva's realization and Narada's realization are the same. No surprise. And it's the message of scripture, no surprise. Because I just finished now twice, discussing the prayers of Queen Kunti, she says the same thing. No surprise. There's attachment to matter. And due to attachment to matter, one's intelligence becomes bewildered. Devahuti says the same thing. No surprise. There's a theme emerging that's just expanding the message of Vyasadeva's realization. That's the Bhagavatam composition. It's Vyasadeva's realization expanded. Living entity becomes bewildered. So exalted personalities like Yudhisthira, pure devotee of the Lord, Devahuti, pure devotee of the Lord, Kunti Devi, pure devotee of the Lord, they're asking these questions or taking the position in part because it's their quality of qualification, their vast humility. And one of the things that will help us, it's a hint, it will help us to become suitably elevated. It takes humility and not just the material notion of humility, but the spiritual conception of humility, where it's a really nice description in Brihat Bhagavatamrita, one of many wonderful descriptions where Sanatana Goswami describes, he gives the characteristics, two, of the quality of humility, where he's, in essence, he's summarizing when Narada Muni is going to the different persons, saying, you are the greatest recipient of the mercy of the Supreme Lord. And they reply, no, no, no. Here's my disqualification. But over there, there is someone who is really qualified. Here's their qualifications. You should go find them and honor them. So Sanatana Goswami says two things. He said that they're all pure devotees, that there's most perfect. So they're into the mood of humility, gesturing to someone who is more perfect and then most perfect. And that's completely suitable for them in that position of humility. But the qualification or the quality of humility is where one, although perfectly qualified to do something or carry out some service, feels oneself incapable, not having the qualities to do so. Which means then one places oneself in this position of dependence, which is exactly the message that Narada is speaking to Yudhisthira. And therefore, Prabhupada is saying the Hare Krishna movement is inviting us to participate in. But there's a prerequisite, this humility. Humility means lots of things, but there's one of those things. That is to say, false ego is dissolved or dismantled or not operative, or there's another sense of self, the true self, true ego. I am but the tiny part of Krishna, meant for his service. I'm fully dependent upon Krishna. That's the spiritual conception of humility. Then another, it's a companion of this humility that is a very strong tendency for introspection, looking within, finding where are the, using his language, the gunas and doshas, the qualities and faults within. It's not an obsession, but it's a natural inclination to look within and see where there's some strength that can be used in Krishna's service, where there's some weakness that needs some attention. And through association of sadhu, overcome that. Have the strength to overcome the shortcoming or the weakness or the area that's requiring improvement, which is exactly what Yudhisthira is doing. He's looking within and in this mood of humility saying, I'm deficient. I need your association and your instruction. And it's not just information in one ear and out the other ear and say it back later on, get an A in your exam, your Bhakti Shastri. But it's internalizing that message by introspection and applying the message because it's purifying, edifying, and uplifting to bring one to the transcendental position. And the final message is, Prabhupada is quoting in the purport twice, the same verse, padam padam yadvi padam natesham is the part he quotes first. That's the last line of a verse. It's part of Lord Brahma's prayers, chapter 14 of Canto 10, and he's indicating, Lord Brahma is indicating, the same message, because he has the same concern. His concern is how to carry out my duties, which involve me in the material energy. You have to create a universe, you have to be involved with the material energy. But that, so our service may not be creating universe, But we have a material body and we're engaging in paraphernalia, just like the earlier philosophical verse of Dravya Advaitam, seeing objects or paraphernalia as connected to the Supreme Person. So that knowledge or that notion is insufficient. It's strong. It helps in the mood of detachment, but there's something about if there's an attitude problem in your relationship with Krishna, if it's not proper, then that knowledge will evaporate, and still the tendency to be the enjoyer of Krishna's property, not seeing it connected to Krishna. It's bound to happen. There's contamination in the heart like that. So the picture is fantastic, and then there's the application. That's the bhakti part, or that's what separates the men from the boys, where the application of this message is brought inside the heart, and then from the heart one acts in the world, that one not only with detachment through knowledge, but with devotion, attachment to Krishna. When there's attachment to Krishna, which is the qualification that's being attributed by Narada to Yudhisthira, you're a pure devotee, so you're protected. And then, samashrataye pada palavam plavam mahatpadam punyanushomarari, this, the first parts of the line, it's text 58 from Canto 10, chapter 14. When one ashrita, samashrita, you can take complete shelter, samashrita, of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead. Taking shelter of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead means this spiritual humility message, because who's going to take shelter of somebody if one is not humble? And recognizing in that humility, I'm dependent. So I'm dependent for everything. So in that taking shelter of the lotus feet of Murari, this Murari name is given because he's the killer of the Mura demon. Krishna kills many demons. But the Mura demon, is protecting, he's in the moat of Narakasura, protecting the kidnapped princesses. Because Narakasura wants to be the enjoyer of these 16,000 princesses. Pretty lusty fellow. So maybe it's just one, in the modern world, maybe just one, I'm the enjoyer of. So the protector of that system is Murari, is Mura demon, and Krishna is the killer of Mura demon. So taking shelter of Murari's lotus feet, he who removes this position of somebody trying to be the enjoyer of Prakriti in its various forms, whether it's the form of a male towards a female or whatever it might be, the enjoyer of Prakriti, Krishna is the killer of that Mura demon. And one who takes shelter of him, then the ocean of material existence shrinks to the amount of water in the hoofprint of a calf. Not even a cow, but a calf. Because the hoofprint of a calf is small, and there may be some water gathered in the hoofprint of the calf, but crossing over that water compared to an ocean, it's quite easy. So all of that shrinks. Now the example given by Narada, spoken by Narada, is you encountered many difficulties. Great generals, powerful Maharata generals, and Krishna made you victorious. Same message. exact same message that Kunti says in her prayers to Krishna. You protected us. So the difficulty didn't... When you become a devotee, if we somehow can become devotees, it's not there won't be difficulties. Guaranteed. Just be in the material world, and there's duality, and sometimes this and sometimes that. And some of that is difficulties, or calamities, or terrible tribulations. Krishna's promise is, you'll never have a tribulation in your life, just become my devotee. That's not the promise. But the promise is that he'll give his protection. And one who becomes a pure devotee knows the calamity is there and Krishna's protection is there. Exactly how it's going to work out may not be so clear, but Krishna's protection is going to be there, that's for sure. That's for sure. And the final message in the purport is a devotee doesn't undergo this embarrassment, I like that language, of trying for liberation, getting free from... The devotee doesn't do that. Devotees live in the world. This verse that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted from Ramananda Roy of the position of perfection and the means to achieve it. Stane stetakshuti katam tanava. Stay in your position where there's duality, there's the material energy that looks like it's separate from Krishna, but it's not, it's connected to Krishna. And you stay in your position, perform your prescribed duty, exactly the same as Narada is saying to Yudhisthira. Stay in your position. Your householder, stay in your position. You have activity, perform your prescribed duty, that activity according to the scripture. Dedicate yourself to Krishna's service. Whatever paraphernalia comes, don't see it as separate from Krishna, meant for your enjoyment. It's connected to Krishna, meant for Krishna's enjoyment. And see yourself in that same way, in that Bhagavat Dharma conception. You're Krishna's eternal servant. That's who you are. Stay in the spiritual conception. Be a householder. Be a pure devotee. Don't have material desire trying to enjoy separately from Krishna. And you'll achieve perfection. And specifically, the perfection is padam padam yadi padam natesham. You'll go back to Godhead. You'll attain the spiritual world, the kingdom of God. And that's big. I mean, it's not just no more birth and death, merging. It's because even merging means falling again. But taking the position of sheltered at the lotus feet of the personality of God in pure devotion with no material desire. That's our goal. And there's the description in the previous verses, the means to attain it. So Yudhisthira, no problema. You're okay. You're likening yourself to a griha mudha di. You're a pure devotee. Everything's all right. And anyone else, come to that position of pure devotion, striving by right means, under proper guidance and direction. Gradually come to that position. Take shelter of Krishna. Okay. Any discussion from our lively group here?
So Guru Maharaj, our position is just, you know, is that, let's say, my position is that I'm trying to learn to take shelter of Krishna. Not necessarily that, you know, I'm a devotee and I can claim I have taken shelter of Krishna. Because the definition, the standard of taking shelter of Krishna is just as it's presented in the Bhagavatam. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. It's not an event, it's a process. Jordan? Up front.
Uh, I have a question on the topic of not leaving your position.
Not leaving your position.
Yeah. What if you kind of like did that before you even came to Krishna consciousness, like started like dropping out of school, things like that, trying to leave your position, then you come to Krishna consciousness and then we learn you're not supposed to drop out of your position. Where does that leave us?
Well, I know some very, very senior devotees that likewise dropped out of school. So the discontinuing of what you were doing before you were a devotee is it doesn't mean before you, whatever I was doing some unmentionable things before I was a devotee, and now I'm a devotee and I dropped those things. Now there may be some mentionable things, and then it's more a matter of evaluating my nature, seeing what's suitable for me. Now maybe something that was a little impetuous or impulsive, something was done. You don't need to go back and, fix that, unless it's just not suited to your nature. So it's a little... Jai Jagannath's question yesterday reminds me of this question. Persons that are not situated within Varna and Ashram, how to properly guide such persons. So someone who's guiding such persons, like, at that stage when you dropped out of school, maybe it was perfectly appropriate, because what was it that you were pursuing anyway? And if you're not clear what you're pursuing, or why I'm pursuing something, then maybe it's good to hit the reset button, step back and say, well, what is it that I want to pursue? Rather than just being a conveyor belt of, that's what I'm told I'm supposed to do, and so I do because I'm told I'm supposed to do it. I don't really know why, and I don't really know what. So taking a pause from that conundrum and doing that which you know, this makes sense. I just continued from a career path. Some of the rest of us may have also done that. It's quite okay. I didn't do so much out of guidance. It's just, I didn't, very much like you, I didn't see the purpose. I saw another purpose that was really clear and pursued that. And then in a certain time, very similar to some discussions we've had, maybe I should resume. So I also considered maybe I should resume after I had lived as a devotee for some period of time. And I came to the conclusion, I don't know. I'm very happy. And this suits me. I'm etc. Without all the introspection and the thought process. So to introspect and look inside and be guided by persons who also can look inside you and understand your nature and guide you wisely. Fine. We do leave some things behind. We don't carry all things with us. That which is going to help bhakti, you accept. Those things that are not going to help bhakti, you may leave to the side. Later on, you may pick up that something and say, well, now I understand how I can use this in service to Krishna, and you pick it up. That's the principle. Okay? Something else? Yes?
As devotees living in the material world, when we're considering the things that are happening to us in our life, there can be like a conventional consideration based on just what's actually happening to us. And then there can be like the absolute consideration, Krishna's protection is coming in so many ways. And one of the things that over the years I've observed is how to balance, how to know when to put the right amount of consideration into the conventional without being irresponsible in the name of looking at the absolute consideration. And oftentimes, like, for example, when something happens to us, when we speak to devotees, they emphasize the absolute consideration, Krishna's mercy, Krishna's protection, try to see Krishna's hand in it, because that's usually the part that we don't see. And so we kind of try to move in that direction, okay, Krishna's mercy.
Makes sense.
Right, and it makes perfect sense. But then how do you, when you're dealing with a practical situation, how do you not become negligent of the conventional considerations, which can come off as being irresponsible to others, or even to yourself, where you start to feel like, no, this isn't...
Good question. A little common sense is always very helpful. And common sense is sometimes hard to find. But common sense means, common sense is, with the absolute conception, I'm still here. So like this discussion, for example, this discussion about Varna and Ashram. I mean, Yudhisthira is pure devotee. He doesn't need these conventional things. But he's being encouraged by Narada to do those conventional things. In Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is encouraged by Krishna to, even if you achieve the topmost stage where you don't need those things, you do those things. And for the reason that it sets an example, yadyaracharati shrestas. So Arjuna, you'd have to do these things because you're in this position, and when you're a perfect person, you have to do these things too. So practical consideration in dealing with just like, the generals that were like elephants, Krishna made practical arrangements. And the devotees involved, Bhima and Arjuna in particular, executed them, as great heroes, because that was the task at hand. But then so many other considerations, what my response is, when you're Krishna conscious, this one, the practical, worldly, isn't separated from the transcendental. And part of, this is my understanding, part of how to deal with the practical is it's a byproduct of the transcendental, meaning, how do we deal with whatever it is, the immediate temporal circumstance. It's part of the transcendental perspective, because it's first and foremost, or primarily, our purification is how to navigate our way through that which we are within, because we are attracted to be enjoyers of it, and we found it's not so enjoyable, so we maybe have this repulsion, which isn't really transcendental. It's just the flip side of attachment. So we shouldn't be negligent in practical matters. Prabhupada said like that specifically. A devotee is not negligent in ordinary affairs. A devotee is very conscientious in ordinary affairs. And even little things. Like where you put stuff down and keeping things clean and respectful dealings with others and all those little conventional temporal things. A devotee is not inattentive. A devotee is very attentive to those temporal. It's part of their Krishna consciousness. There is a priority. You can't do that without the transcendental. And I may not understand the purpose of Krishna, but in this circumstance, but at least, the spirit of trying to be pleasing to Krishna in this circumstance in my dealings in practical matters. And what is Krishna's intention? I'm thinking of some circumstances that I'm dealing with presently as I'm speaking. it's a good question. And it's, you know, it's the tendency, well, to speak about the higher principle, but the tendency is to function in the lower principle, at least for most people. Maybe there's some exceptions, but. And then thus, due to attachment or due to conditioning, lose sight of the transcendental. So therefore, strong encouragement, see the transcendental so that you can do the practical properly. Not one without the other. Jitendriya.
We hear the expression, when you leave Krishna consciousness, you go back to where you were, where you left off in the material world.
I never heard that one.
Pardon me?
I never heard that one.
Oh, well, I'll give you an example. I'll give you...
Yeah? Oh, when you leave Krishna consciousness, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, then I misunderstood what you said.
So... truth is stranger than fiction, and I have this example. There was a devotee, he was a pujari here, and then in one day he was left Krishna consciousness and he was flipping hamburgers on a grill near downtown. And the devotees were just like, you know, like a 180. They were totally amazed that something like that could happen. But, you know, he'd be singing slokas in the temple, and then in one day, you know, he was the flip side. So, just something that came to mind, you know.
Okay. Donna Kelly?
Well, just as a little follow-up to Jai Jagannath Prabhu's question about how to balance spiritual guidance with guidance in our practical, down-to-earth, seemingly mundane needs and what have you. Wasn't the traditional Varnashram system set up in such a way that, like we hear, the students would be in Gurukula and that guru was a grihastha? So that means a man and his wife, you know, that were dealing with practical affairs for people. Whereas today, we seem to have this conception that guru means some kind of acharya, uttama bhakta, you know, we have this really, really, not that that's not there, but it just seems like we need to emphasize more in our society the category of gurus who deal with, you know, shiksha gurus or whatever you want to call them, that deal with the practical, down-to-earth, day-to-day, seemingly mundane needs of people, because it seems almost impractical to think that, you know, the guru who's being viewed up here on some platform who hasn't gone through all the affairs of the material world, like grihastha ashram, etc., that they're necessarily going to be the proper person to help guide us in such. You know what I mean? Not that, you know, so there's like the, like I think what Mahavishnu Prabhu was saying yesterday, there's the Krishna conscious guidance and education, and then there's the Varnashram guidance and education. Not that they're contradictory, but they complement each other.
I've got about five things to say in response. One of them is what you're saying is a, by design, a very principled aspect of the disciple course. Intentionally, what you're saying is by design. So that means going into the future is something that Kaunteya and I were discussing about the function of education. And education is not just information. It is information sharing, but it's, you know, structures that help, doesn't guarantee, but it helps to ensure a better understanding and a better application of that understanding. So that's one point. And another is that those to being in the position of someone that's does both serves as a Diksha Guru, and even for persons that are not disciples serve as a Shiksha Guru. Believe it or not, many Diksha Gurus or Gurus are engaged a lot in guiding people in practical affairs. And then another point is many of those persons who do that also rely on others who are helping to guide in practical affairs. Then another point is those that are guiding in practical affairs, it's just part of the etiquette that they consider the mood and the teachings and points of emphasis of the person who is serving as the Diksha Guru in that person's life. And there was another point. Went away. Oh, yeah. Connected to that point, I've not been married. I've not had, I had a job before I was a devotee, but it wasn't like, you know, maintaining a household and kind of a job. It was just the summer job from school. So, and then when I became a devotee, since I've been a devotee, so I haven't had the experience of being in a family, but I've had enough experience of working very closely with families that I have something of a sense, and certainly have enough sense that there are some areas that I really need somebody that's gone through being a householder to guide people that have been in household life. So it's just distilling all of that down to a simple statement. My sense of what works best is to raise a child that takes a village message, meaning many persons, not just one person, many persons are involved in guiding and training and educating and supporting and serving as role models and helping someone, whether it's a child born in the Hare Krishna movement and then their teacher and their parents and or someone that comes to Krishna consciousness, there's many persons involved in the process of supporting the development of Krishna consciousness, and that's just reality. And that should be encouraged and supported because it's reality. It's very practical. It's a little frustrating, not only for you, Donna Kelly, it's frustrating for persons that are seen in that role of, you know, somewhere up there and not properly respecting those that are giving all kinds of practical care and guidance to others. It's frustrating. And you get, you know, even if you say it, they still do it. The culture isn't there yet. It isn't right yet. So the disciple course, back to the first point, I'm very hopeful the disciple course will significantly improve the culture. You know, all throughout our society. And different individuals get it, and different individuals get it less, but it's going to help. Something else? Krishna Arjuna over here.
Sharampa Swami, I don't know if I can articulate this perfectly. I've been trying to formulate it, so I'm going to try. You know, in the discussion of, or at least yesterday, you had brought up during the course of the lecture that there's, you know, persons coming that are bringing, you know, such complex material entanglements and and today a lot of the discussion was dealing with you know, that very clear sense of protection from Krishna and, you know, the process, that there's a process involved in coming to be attached to Krishna. And so I've been reflecting a lot recently that it's very helpful for me personally, even being confronted by persons bringing all their material entanglements, to become doubly aware of looking for the protection of Krishna. And just by thinking in that way, it's helping with becoming more aware of becoming attached to Krishna. So in that kind of frame of mind and reflecting in that way, I also find that I found that a problem that I run into is that in efforts to you know, work internally that way, there's also external duty, maybe something connected to Jai Jagannath's question. There's also external duty that, you know, other persons who may be dealing with somebody with, you know, very complex material entanglements, that sometimes a person may not be able to practice as much caution, and so gets much more heavily involved with the material entanglements of somebody else. So how to actually impress upon someone that real necessity to, you know, remain attached to Krishna in terms of remembering his protection, and rather than, you know, getting carried away by the material entanglements that somebody's bringing. So I'm sort of questioning, I guess, where my own duty towards fellow devotees can be assisted. I don't know if the question was clear. I've tried very hard.
Well, between my bad hearing and the acoustics in this room and your soft voice, I got maybe 60%, and I'm struggling to capture, and I'm sure it's, you know, Subal, can you help? Distill it down to something that I can respond to?
The process of assisting a fellow devotee.
A friend of a devotee?
A fellow devotee.
A friend of a devotee. Fellow devotee.
Yeah, assisting a fellow devotee that you see dealing with with someone else, a material entanglement, and
so the devotee friend is entangled in something.
No. The devotee friend is helping someone who is entangled heavily.
Okay, I've got a devotee friend. The devotee friend is helping somebody that's materially entangled.
Right. And how to remind the devotee friend that this, if you get too carried away in the material entanglement, then you can also, you know, go south yourself.
Okay.
So something like that, Krishna Archana?
That's it? Okay, more or less.
Well, more or less.
There's more detail, but that's
see, a little Spanish flavor to it, going south.
So, in the profession, I learned this from Krishna Lila, in the profession of those that are counselors, so this is your devotee friend is counseling someone who has a problem. It's part of the profession of those that are counselors that two things, they report
what they're doing to somebody. Part of the, and the reason for doing that is so the counselor doesn't get entangled in the complexity of the other person. So their report, and that the other person who they're counseling needs to know, I'm going to report. If you don't want to share something in confidence that I can then pass on to at least one person, then I can't be involved in this because I have to keep myself protected so I don't get entangled. And then another is the consciousness of the counselor that you don't own the other person's problem. If you start to own the other person's problem, then you get implicated and you get sucked into the material energy that they're struggling with. So there's the phrase that I use is detached caring. And it's not a contradiction. It's the kind of caring that you care. It's genuine feelings for the struggling person that your friend is counseling. But the attachment is, again, using Krishna Leela's phrase, because I've learned from her some of these things, you bow to their fate or their destiny. Meaning, they have a relationship with Krishna. Same thing I heard from Bhurijan, only it's different. But it's language is different, but it's the same. Every one of us that's struggling, that comes to the material world, struggling or otherwise, we've come because there's a problem in our relationship with Krishna. So in that person who's being counseled by your devotee friend who's counseling them, they have an issue with Krishna. And the problem is to help them sort out that issue with Krishna. So the relationship is between them and Krishna, and you are trying to help connect them to Krishna, and depending upon their willingness to connect with Krishna or not connect with Krishna, you bow to that. It's in Krishna's hands. So part of the requirement for the counselor is not be the doer, but be the instrument of Krishna to help connect that person to Krishna. Now, supposing the person is not a devotee, then it's more challenging because they can't see a spiritual solution. They're looking for material solutions to their relationship with Krishna problem. And it's a little bit like Jai Jagannath's question of people being inattentive to the practical situation. They have to do some practical things. Someone may make suggestions or offer, what do you think? In the profession of guiding people, something I've learned from Braj Bihari is you give like this inventory list of, well, here's some things. Have you considered these 16 things? And then you rule out some of them and you end up with one that, so then you have a path of action. But it's their decision. It's their relationship with Krishna. And you're just helping to learn the art of making wise decisions. And ultimately, depending upon the spiritual disposition of that individual is being counseled, the counselee, how much do they want a relationship with Krishna? Or just like dismiss the problem. Problems will continue. So it's saving the jacket without saving the drowning man. So the counselor needs to understand that's really the issue. The soul's connection with Krishna. Some people have some immunity towards their relationship with Krishna. They don't want it. They're repelled by it. Then you can't really help people too much. Something further? She's processing. Okay. Last question over here. You ready?
Hare Krishna.
He always asks these difficult questions.
No, it's a simple one.
Simple one?
Yeah. You're talking about Varna and Ashrama, and you're talking that every person in Varna and Ashrama has a specific prescribed duty to be taken care of. And by carefully taking care of the duty and by balancing the spiritual life and the prescribed duty, the person can go to Krishna. And that's what
I didn't use the word balancing. I don't like this word balancing. As if the duty is on the material side and then there's the other side. I don't like that word. Excuse me for editing.
That's fine. Thank you. So what happens if the person, let's say, in particular varna and ashrama is doing his duty, like for example, an ashrama like brahmachari or grahastha or sannyasi or vanprastha, he's doing his duty, or brahman, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, he's doing his duty, but because of the, let's say, he's doing his practical duty and as well as he is trying to do his spiritual duty. So his totally mind is at one point in his practical duty, and his mind is also in spiritual duty. So it's
your microphone keeps moving with your mind.
Yeah, the mind.
Your mouth stays in one place.
Okay, so the mind is not fixed. He's working with the senses. His mind is not fixed on Krishna. Because he knows his goal. He has to go to Krishna. He has to do his duty for the Krishna. But
yeah,
the mind is in so many duties.
Right.
But
it.
He's working for Krishna from. So what is the situation of that person?
So what happened? Was the fate of that person is your question?
What is the situation of that person? He'll be getting Krishna.
You outlined the situation. His situation. He's distracted by the circumstance, and the challenge is. While diversity of circumstances come and go, consciousness stays fixed. It's a little bit like his question, back to, you know, the mind has to deal with the practical, but the mind also has to be with Krishna, which is essentially what you're saying. So there's the art of seeing the practical in relation to Krishna, or it starts with seeing Krishna. So if you're not fixed in Krishna consciousness, then you're going to be, you know, what's the situation? The mind is distracted. That means you forgot Krishna. He's in the backseat, if in the vehicle at all. Maybe you're invited him to, you know, please get out, I'll call you back when I'm ready for you. Dismiss Krishna. It's usually, at least for a devotee, not deliberate, but that's what happens. So we block because the mind gets distracted. It's just like chanting japa. You know what distracted japa is, right? Yeah. So it's like that. And then duties, it's distracted duties. So the practice is to do both. Perform your prescribed duty and always think of me.
It says in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 5, says that even if the person is not working with the mind, but he's working with the senses, he will achieve his goal.
Well, the mind is one of the senses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's say mind, body, and words. If he's not working with the mind, body, and words, but he's working with the other senses, doing the work physically.
I got the scenario, and the answer is he's distracted by the glitter of the material energy, thinking that's my duty is to do my duty, and then Krishna takes the back seat, or he's out of the vehicle till you did your duty. There's you understand because you're learned Vaishnava, so now the problem is resolved by purification of heart, where the soul is in their relationship with Krishna. And if you don't have the soul to Krishna situation, you're going to have this other one. And sadhana is to cleanse. Cheto darpana marjanam. Start there and cleanse the mind. So the resting place of desire, the mind, thinking, feeling, willing, goes to Krishna. And then one can not be distracted. One can be fixed. The various circumstances of duties, they come and they go. Throughout the day and from day to day and throughout life, and stay fixed on service to Krishna. That's the soul in relation to Krishna. Until that purification takes place, It's a situation of distraction. Disconnected. Mind disconnected. Bring the mind to be connected. And the senses following the mind. And that happens when there's buddhi. The intelligence directs the mind, directs the senses. And that happens when there's this tesham satata yuktanam. Vajatam priti purvakam. Then buddhi, then mind, then we're fixed. So practice. Sadhana. Hare Krishna. Prabhupada ki jai.